Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, it is Red Flags Friday. We are examining dating candidates with huge white flags, but a few troubling bits of baggage. Mom issues, fad diets, and major impulse control issues. Let's get into it. Happy Friday, Steven.
Happy Friday, Laura. Woo, we made it. We're alive.
We are.
Yeah.
And anyone listening, you are also alive.
Hey, good job. You made it.
Yeah. This is evidence of that.
Right? Oh, dude, I love Friday. Fridays cannot be understated. Like, there's donuts, there's fun, there's outdoor things, there's activities. I'm just such a fan. I'm just jazzed. Yeah.
I feel even silly asking this. How are you on this day?
How am I?
Of days.
You know, I'm a little down.
You're a little down?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just being playful. No, I'm actually pretty good. I'm pretty decent. I am reaching the end of like a heavy workload period, and that's just been taking a lot of energy out of me. If I've sounded in like a more escalated state, it's just because I've been stressed. But you know, it's coming to an end, so I'm actually feeling a lot better these days. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
How about yourself?
I am living my best life.
Ooh, nice.
Living the dream. As the white people say.
Living the dream as the white people say.
As
the
my white people. The whites,
yes.
Are known to say.
Also part-time my people. They're also part my people.
Yeah. Part-time.
Yeah, part-time.
I like the idea of people being part-time.
I'm part-time white. I mean, the Frothingham in my name kind of implies pretty white. Part-time white.
Yeah, so I was thinking this Friday we might have a fun little red flags game.
You mean a red flags Friday? Is that what you're thinking?
That is what I'm thinking.
I love it. Let's do it.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do, Steven. Mm. For those of you who are uninitiated, the red flags card game is done by Grim Rabbit, and it is a game based on white flags and red flags. Think about the rules to like Cards Against Humanity, and it has a similar structure. Basically, you are given white cards that are a positive trait in a potential dating partner. And then you are given red flags, which is an attempt to make your partner less attractive. So the red flags on top of the white flags. Do the red flags eliminate the white flags? Do you want to date this person? And then discuss. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand you some white flags and some red flags. Here you go. Ooh, my dude.
I love it. I love it. Did you look at these already? Are these...
I portioned them out. And I know some of the things, but not all of the things.
What's fun is I have like 80 red flags and like 3 white flags. Are you saying something? Am I full of red flags? Is that the implication?
I have the same thing, but I have read online that the older you get, the more red flags you acquire.
Oh no.
I think they call it bagage.
Bagage. Oh, yes. I'd like to request one bagage and one baguette from the cafe.
Yeah. No, actually, I was on a subreddit like Ask Men Over 30, and someone was asking, okay, for dating over 30, what are the pros and cons? And the top comment was pro, less BS, con, more BS.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so for this one, I'm just thinking here, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a limited amount of white flags and a ton of red flags. So
go ahead.
What if we do this? What if we take the one that we believe the other person will just love? Like we take what I think is going to be your most popular white flag, and then I play it, and then you go, oh, absolutely. And then I say, well, what about? And I add a red flag, and you go, still maybe yes. And I keep adding red flags until you go, this is absolutely no go. What do you think?
Okay, yeah. So you want to see how much I can take?
I want to see how
much you can take. Okay, I'm going to be doing the exact same thing to you.
Nice.
Okay. I'm going to find the most compelling white flag of my 3 and then just proceed to ruin that person for you with these copious red flags.
Perfect. So you're going to take your time, you know?
All right. No, I actually already have a white flag.
I've got one for you too.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Who wants to go first? Nose goes.
I'll go first.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, so Laura, your white flag is best-selling author.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a controversial take on this.
Yeah.
I hate writers.
Really? What? What? Okay, what the what? No, because...
But, no, just socially.
Oh, because I would have thought because you're a writer and because you love to read, I thought this would be like a perfect match.
From writing, being a writer, publishing work, and reading the work of other published writers, I have gleaned this insight. Awful is is the general personality of these individuals.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Myself included. Like, you just don't want to be around these people. Like, you want to keep them enclosed in a room with some form of writing implement and hopefully no Twitter access.
Oh, boy. Okay, so that completely destroyed my approach.
No, I'm interested. Feel free to select a next white flag. This is a controversial opinion, a personal opinion. Some people love writers because they're masochists.
Ooh, okay. So we're gonna try that again. Okay. Best-selling author, clearly not a white flag for you. Here's another one. Has the voice of an angel.
Ooh, like the Metatron?
Like the Metatron. You hear their voice, you literally melt. Your brain melts into a puddle because it is too powerful for you to hear. Exactly. Like that kind of angel. No, like, you know, just a sweet, a tone, a voice that you love, a voice that just makes you go, wow, that is a good quality voice.
I do like a good voice. Right? I mean, a good voice is the difference between attraction and unattraction.
That's true. That's true. Imagine if I talk like this all the time. You'd be like, am I married to a man or like a prepubescent boy? I don't know.
I would even highlight a better example, which is Alan Rickman.
Oh,
imagine Alan Rickman without Alan Rickman's voice.
Ooh, Alan Rickman with the voice of SpongeBob.
Any other voice.
Yeah.
I feel like the popularity of Snape from the Harry Potter series was Alan Rickman doing his Alan Rickman voice for like 8 movies.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, what a magical character. But it's just the melodic quality of his voice, like the sensitivity inherent to his vocal quality.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just that, right? Not to tangent us too much, but it's like the quality of his voice and also how he uses it.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's not just the tone, but yeah, it's like all those things, right? It's like how the inflection points, the pauses, the crisp diction that he uses to enunciate every single syllable.
Well, and he was also the voice of the Metatron in 1999's Dogma. So he is literally the voice of an angel.
So has the voice of Alan Rickman.
Has the voice of Alan Rickman.
There
I'm in.
Go.
Let's go.
There we go. All right. So that's the white flag.
Okay.
All right. So do you want to give me yours?
I do want to give you mine.
Give me mine.
I think you'll enjoy this.
And then after that, I will try to destroy that one for you.
Wonderful. Okay. Can fire your most hated coworker or boss?
Ooh.
That's power, baby.
Oh, that is so much power. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. The only thing that would make that better is can promote you to the head of whatever company you are working at.
Maybe they just keep firing whoever is in your path.
They're like, wow, he's the only one that's not getting fired. He's the only one that knows what's happening anymore. We should probably just make him the boss. Now he's chief CEO. You know, that is very powerful. All right, I'll take it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Because to be honest, like, look, you can I'm great at disentangling myself from relationships that aren't working, from friendships that are like, or from people, from acquaintances that I'm like, I don't know about you. This is, what you said is very unsettling. But like work stuff, that's, you kind of just have to accept it for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
Like you just kind of go, well,
Yeah, you just got to grin and bear it in a lot of situations.
This is an A+ card, Laura. This is an
Thank
A card.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now back to your card. Has the voice of an angel, specifically the Metatron, specifically Alan Rickman. Right? Has the voice of Alan Rickman. However, body type, dumpster.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like built.
No, more like as the body of like a trash bag.
Okay.
Like a filled trash bag, I think.
I mean,
the implication
I would
there.
Make the observation that Alan Rickman was never built.
That's true. So it doesn't really take much away from him, does it?
No. Yeah. He can carry a trash bag with panache.
Okay, so you're still on board with that.
I'm still on board.
Okay, all
I'm
right.
Still on board. Okay.
Good to know.
Okay, and I'm going to offer you the following. Literally won't stop talking about their mother.
Oh gosh. Oh, that almost has me saying, no, I'm out. I'm good. Although, here's the thing. I do like people who express emotional openness and are comfortable expressing vulnerability. However, there is a time and a place, and there is a certain duration that I can withstand. And after that duration is exceeded, I get a little bit, okay, can we talk about literally anything else, you know?
You get bored hearing about mom?
I do get bored because it's not just the boredom. It also makes me concerned about possible, probable other red flags, because it's not just that they talk about their mother a lot, but what about their mother is such an issue? Mm-hmm. Are they going to get this wrapped up in any other issue that they have and not be able to solve themselves? Am I going to have to like come in and like save them and rescue them from whatever situation they're in? Can they handle themselves?
Okay, so your question is, are they just an obsessive person by nature? Like, yes. They're wrapped up in the idea of the mother, or is the mother issue so large,
yes,
that it could be a genuine problem, yeah, in the relationship?
Okay. Those are two big questions. They're like multiple possible red flags out of that. So this is,
and plus reminds you of your own mother issues. So
it's, yeah, don't get me
straight to therapy.
Don't get me started. Straight to therapy jail. No, I'm kidding. Just straight to therapy. Okay. So this is, I'm still on board with this person because their power is powerful. They can still fire my most hated coworker or boss.
Right? Like maybe you just keep it for a little while.
Right, just keep it for a bit. You know?
You could listen to 8 months of mom talk.
Yeah, you just get rid of the upper ranks, and then, you know, after that you're like, sorry, bye. Okay. All right. So let's see. I'm gonna find something for you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this one really is, it's almost a cheat card. The red flag I'm adding to your has the voice of Alan Rickman, white flag, is kicks every animal they see.
Oh, that's so bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That actually makes me kind of sad just playing it. I almost didn't want to play it.
Oh yeah, I think you should have chosen not to play it. But oh, here we are.
Oh, can I take? I'm gonna take it back. I can take it back.
I don't know, man.
Mulligan. I don't know.
You mulliganed your white card.
Honey, I did.
We call this the McMulligan. Red Flag Friday.
No, and you know what? The thing about Red Flag Friday is you're supposed to have fun. So I'm mulliganing my red flag and playing another one.
Dude, can you believe that there are actually people who are cruel to animals?
I really can't.
Like, it's,
I really can't.
It's genuinely perplexing.
Oh, okay. That red flag made me a little sad. Let's just go into something a little silly. Okay.
Fun.
So the one I replaced it with is the red flag of sleep puncher.
Okay. Let me tell you why that's fine. I will be in another bedroom.
Oh, fair enough. You can just go, all right, so you punch people in your sleep. That's cool. I'm just going to go in bedroom number two. And like, it's fine. Yeah.
I'll stay at my house the whole time.
So Alan Rickman has a dumpster body and punches everyone in his sleep.
I mean, he probably knows that he's a sleep puncher. So if there's any reasonableness within his brain, he'd be like, yes, I can understand why you would find sleep elsewhere.
Perhaps that's why he had such tight control over his diction, because he has no control over his punching in his sleep.
Indeed.
Possibly. All right, so you're still on board. Wow, that didn't really phase you much at all.
I mean, the first red flag you threw at me, that was game ending.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
But that was too much.
You're like, sorry, I went too hard. I did.
Levels. I brought it back a little bit. I need to learn levels. I'm trying. All right, you got another red flag for me. Right?
Okay, so here you go. Is on every fad diet at the same time.
Everyone?
Every single one. It's Ozempic. It's keto. It's Whole30. It's gluten-free. Although that's not a fad diet. That is a dietary restriction. additional fad diets. I'm a little bit out of the loop right now.
Other fad diets.
Yeah, but just it's a complicated... It's complicated. They are complicated food-wise. And they probably are telling you a lot of things all at once.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is someone who is already telling me a lot about their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're very powerful and they can fire my most hated coworker or boss. But also, they're also going to be talking a lot about every single fad diet they're on. However,
this will break up the mom talk.
It will. It will add some variety, right? And as we said before, variety is fun. As long as they're not forcing me to be on it and or making me responsible for paying for all of the unique dietary restrictions, live your life. You know, that doesn't interrupt my life. You know, like it's not healthy for them because they're on every single diet at the same time. And that can't be good. I think they all cancel each other out, honestly.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah.
I actually love being around people who are dieting.
Really?
And I love listening to them talk about it.
Oh, why is that?
I find it fascinating, the relationship people have to food. It's such a personal relationship. It's almost as personal, I think, as love.
Oh.
The relationship between you and your food.
There's a lot there, isn't there?
There is a lot there. I've got 30 minutes to listen to anyone who has a diety relationship with their body, because there's so much shame involved.
Yeah.
And there's like behavioral logic. And they will just go off. And when they go off, it's like the most articulate revelation of their subconscious that you'll ever get from anyone. Like, people won't talk about their relationship to their family members, to their romantic partners, to their friends with the same kind of openness they'll share about their food. That food is as intimate a connection. I'm just here to listen to people self-reveal.
So if someone, as a date question, asked you, how is your relationship with the food? What is your relationship with food like?
I love that as a date question. I want to ask that just in life.
Right?
And I thought you might. That's kind of the fun thing about being a woman. You kind of can really easily sneak that into conversation. In the same way that men are kind of preoccupied with money, women are preoccupied with their relationship with food. And like, we should all be better, obviously, but we're not yet. Totally. So let's talk about it. And I think some of the most interesting psychology comes out of those conversations. Like, what does food mean to you?
Yeah.
Is it a comfort? Mm-hmm. Is it a punishment? Is it something you have to do in secret? Is it something your parents made you feel bad for? Is it your addiction? Is like, what is it to you? Mm-hmm. What is this very important, necessary component of your life to you?
There is a lot there. And you're right. People are very open about food. They'll say, if you ask them about what kind of food they like, what's their favorite food? Because that's usually the question. What's your favorite type of food?
Yeah.
It's often, it indicates where they are on class status. Like what sort of things are important to them? Like, is it important to eat really good, niche, expensive food? Or are they more of a person who is interested in budgeting and interested in like getting quantity over quality? Mm-hmm. Or do they have certain types of food, like certain cuisines that they really love, certain cuisines that they really don't know and haven't tried yet?
It's stuff that they were raised on, and maybe it's stuff that they're afraid of.
Right. I remember we had a friend that we talked to some years ago, and they said they literally never tried Indian food. And I was just surprised. I was like, how
have you managed to do that on the West Coast?
Yeah. Like, you don't have to like Indian food, but I was just surprised that they hadn't had it, even though it was in California. I'm like, it's everywhere. Okay.
Dude, dated a guy who, until me, hadn't had Eastern food of any kind.
Really?
What? Which was absolutely bananas, because he was from the Bay Area.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I'm like, are you just ignoring all of the food places that are here?
Maybe he just had a really clean routine that involved going from this place, like his home, to his work, to his gym or whatever, his theater.
See, it communicates a lot about the way you live your life.
Yeah. I bet he could tell you a lot about the food that he did eat.
Yeah. He loved chicken.
He loved chicken. I mean, chicken's pretty good.
It is pretty darn good.
But that is really interesting. I do want to ask people more of that. Like, when I meet them, like, what's your favorite food? What do you like about food? What don't you like about food? Because I think you can learn a lot about people.
Yeah, and it's a pretty neutral conversation. Yeah. It's not one of those where people get mad. Yeah. Although we do have a contingent in our culture that like gets obsessed with the cleanliness of food. Mm. I read that it's a new eating disorder called orthorexia.
Oh.
Yeah, it's about the preoccupation with how clean your food is.
Our food has to be good,
clean, yeah, it has natural, to be clean.
Organic.
And this preoccupation leads to disordered eating.
Yeah,
so maybe it could be a hot topic. I was at a dinner party where it was a hot topic.
Oh, dang. That totally makes sense, though, because they're like, no, clean food, organic food, it's important. One other thing I should mention, I've seen this before, so I think the framing of this question is very important, because I think there are some people out there that if you ask them what is your relationship with food like, I think they might be offended.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
It might trigger them a bit, like asking someone, what is the relationship like with your mother? You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. That's the other thing.
Because
it is an intimate relationship. Right. It can be a tripwire for some people.
They could get defensive. They could go, oh, is it because you see that I'm not eating right now? Or is it because you see that I'm eating too much? Or is it because I appear to be eating too much or too little? Like, it could trigger
them. Am I not eating the right food?
Am I not eating the right foods?
Yeah. So you see how this red flag can really just give you a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So I think the
question... fight about, maybe.
It is. I totally see that. I think it's important to frame it properly. So like, mm-hmm. what do you like about food? What don't you like about food? I think that's probably a safer way than like, what is your relationship with food like? I love that you would totally take that question and like not be offended. But when I said it, I realized some people might.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But I like food, and I like having a sort of weird relationship with food sometimes.
Oh, that's fair.
I like getting experimental with food.
No, but, dude, me too.
Yeah, I was watching the Anthony Bourdain Travel Network food programs and Andrew Zimmerman's Weird Foods program. I could talk about food all day and night, and often I do. Yeah. So if you guys want to talk about food, have I got time for you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you going to put another one on mine, or is it my turn to put one on
yours? Actually, it is my turn to put one more on you.
Okay.
All right.
I think maybe we should do one more red flag and then give everyone their lunch break back.
I think that's a good idea.
I love it.
Okay, so I'm gonna double down into this direction. So on your Has the Voice of an Angel, aka Alan Rickman, white flag, I'm putting down the following red flag: knocks things out of strangers' hands while walking down the street.
Ooh.
Please discuss.
Okay, well, while I respect someone's right to knock things out of the hands of whomever if they're willing to accept the consequences, I would not like to accept those consequences. Yeah. That's a very impolite thing to do.
Super impolite.
And it would just make anywhere you walked take so much longer.
Mm-hmm. And it also, I would say it shows poor impulse control, because they're punching in their sleep. They're Alan Rickman, so they're amazing, but they're punching in their sleep, and they're also knocking things out of people's hands.
Like, maybe we're going to a neurologist at that point. Yeah. Like, I don't know what's going on, guys, but like, this arm is doing a lot of stuff.
Can you imagine this person, like, in Alan Rickman's voice, is knocking things out of people's hands? They can't even control it, and they're going, I'm so sorry. I'm so terribly sorry. Whack. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll buy you another iPhone. I can't control it. Sorry. Sorry. Just knocking things down left and right. So, still not a deal breaker, or yes?
Okay. Mm. The problem is the white flag's not that amazing. Mm. I think if my white flag were your white flag, you know, that they have the power to eliminate my professional rivals, I'd be like, I can do this. But just for the glory of Alan Rickman's voice, there have to be easier people to date.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I think I'm out.
You're out? All right.
I'm out.
You're out. That's fair. That's fair. I understand that. All right. So you got one more for me. I'm going to see if I can hang it out with this person who can fire my most hated coworker or boss. Which,
yes.
I don't really hate anyone that I work with. No, which is nice. It's very nice. But if I ever did, this person would be helpful.
Okay. I'm choosing a red flag that is consistent with the rest of the red flags I've given you.
All right. I love it.
Literally only talks about themselves.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All of this together: can fire your most hated coworker or boss, won't stop talking about their mother, is on every fad diet at the same time, and literally only talks about themselves. Wait, if they literally won't stop talking about their mother, and they literally only talk about themselves, are they their own mother?
No, but their mother is about them.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
And their fad diets are about them, too.
Oh, they wouldn't remember anything you said. They wouldn't remember your birthday. They wouldn't remember your friends. They wouldn't care about your friends. They would only talk about themselves.
But isn't that consistent with someone powerful enough to eliminate your professional rivals?
That's true, but it would be like dating Jenna Maroney from 30 Rock.
I mean...
Look, I love her as a character. I love everything she brings to the table, but I would not want to date her. Not about it. Honestly, I couldn't do it. Sorry. No,
okay,
I think I'm out. I'm out.
Okay.
Can't do it.
I think this is the first time that we have failed red flags.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's getting a date.
Well, it's also the first time we've tried it this way. So this is a good way of eliminating dates, by piling on red flags. I've seen people do this. Mm-hmm. I've seen people look at a candidate and go, no, because of these five red flags I've identified. And like, that's how you reduce a candidate pool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you end up single.
That forever. Is. That is. Although, I mean, if there are that many red flags, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the peace and tranquility of singleness is better.
Right. In that case, if they're actual red flags, well spotted. And good on you for getting that peace you need, you know, to not be with someone that has 20 red flags.
Yeah. Human beings are famously problematic. good looking out.
Yeah. And even if you don't have anyone to date, you still have us and you can hang out with us and we'll chat, you know?
Yeah, four times a week.
We can't find you a date, but we can find you Red Flag Fridays every now and then.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
Yeah, nice chatting with y'all. And we'll catch you on the next lunch break.
Yeah, see you Tuesday. Bye.
This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.